Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360. You know, we always talk about financial health and well-being, and today we're really going to dive into it with my friend Thomas Seiko, co-founder of Florida Vet Advisors. And also, if you guys love podcasts, you got to check them out at Smarter Vet Podcast. And we're so happy that you're with us here, Tom. Thank you for joining us.
It's fantastic to be here, Adam. Thanks for having me.
No, yeah, my pleasure. And I really do mean it. We talk about financial health and well-being all the time, but sometimes we really don't get into the nitty-gritty of it. And we're really going to talk about four key elements to maximize your veterinary practice and build your net worth. Boy, do we need this more now so than ever with the pandemic here.
I would agree with you on that. I feel like a lot of practice owners are starting to lose their sanity with the amount of stuff going on too right now.
Yes, we are. Yes, absolutely. So tell us a little bit about that too, about maximizing your veterinary practice. What are some ways that we can do that?
So, this is actually a presentation that we host online all the time. It's one of our RACE CEs that we present on. And, you know, there's a lot of different elements when it comes to being able to maximize the value. And I would just always say, being a practice owner, a lot of times people get into practice without really truly understanding why they're in business. So the biggest part of all of it is really being able to take a step back. And even if you are deciding to become an owner, or if you are an owner, understanding what's the point of why you're in business and how does that align with your overall plan? Because that's like a big component, but there are four different things that I can jump into.
You know, I share with you this too, because we all are veterinarians when we're practicing. We enter this profession with our hearts, not with our wallets and purses. And, you know, we love what we do. And sometimes, you know, we're told this all the time, we're just giving it away. But I'm really intrigued to learn about this. So I'm ready.
Okay. Well, that's crazy too, that you bring that up, because I see it so often where, of course, I hear often over and over saying, we didn't get into this for the money. We get into it for the animals and everything else. Right. However, there is a lot of opportunity that present, like students that are graduating right now are making a great income. And then you get practice owner. Like if you run a really good practice, like you're making a really, really good living. The biggest thing is like how in tune, like how engaged are with what you're doing. And I do believe there is a certain level of ignorance that we all have where it's like we tend to avoid things. Or being a doctor, I think it was a conversation I had not too long ago, we all try to figure out stuff. Most of you will try to figure out things on your own. And then maybe at one point or another, a friend says, hey, maybe I should go talk to someone about this, because I really, I need to stop relying on trying to piece it all together and try to find someone to help me with this. So but with the four key elements to be able to, you know, maximize a veterinary practice, just to really boil these down, is there's the main area is one, being able to understand any threats that could be to your practice is one part of it. The other thing is being able to really get control over the practice cash flow and making sure that, you know, you're not just spending money on unnecessary things, being able to do other things like build up your personal wealth. Understanding how you're spending money on your employees. Like, is it really doing what you want it to do, or are you just wasting money? And then also having a solid exit plan to how you're going to do it. And there's three different doors that we can walk through when it comes to all of those steps.
Talk to me a little bit about threats. You know, so, you know, we do a lot about SWOT analysis, you know, strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. So as a practice owner, what would be some threats that we're seeing now with, you know, the COVID and pandemic and things like that?
There's always threats that are out there. The biggest thing is, I would say when a lot of practice owners are going out there and planning, there is, if I were to ask most practice owners that we ever bump into and say, hey, what is do you know the overall value of your business? And it's surprising how many times people are like, I don't know. I've never really had any valuation done. And when we talk about protecting, like that's one thing that we always need to make sure that we're understanding, like, how are we protecting this asset, this thing that you've been working on for so long, or you're starting to work on now, to make sure that it's okay. And these are things from a protection standpoint of how your business is set up from an entity. You know, are you a sole proprietor? Are you a S corporation? Are you an LLC? If you were to get sued, if you have a loss of use of your building and you couldn't work there anymore, let's say that you would have employees or something that were to happen to where they are no longer within the business, they were to leave, or let's say they become sick or injured, they pass away. Like, how does that impact your overall business? And at the same time, even things of like, sometimes practice owners will have, and this is, we don't see it very, very often, they might have a car that they put, personal vehicle that they put through the business. And then that personal vehicle is then used for business standpoint, but then it creates a whole other level of potential threats to them, to where if they do get in a car accident, it could hurt them on their business and it could hurt them on their personal side. So those are definitely some valid things to look at.
I didn't even think of that actually. Well, I mean, you tend to think of like competition as your threats or like other and other entities that are out there, but that's interesting. And then you talked about cash flow and personnel, you know, funds and so forth. What does that necessarily mean? I mean, if do you think that certain practices, are they over hiring or under hiring, where they're trying to like maximize profit but compromising workflow and efficiency?
It's, I mean, it could be partial of that. And mainly what we really see a lot of is that a lot of practices don't have enough staff to support the overall inflow of business that they're getting. And the other component though, is that a lot of businesses or a lot of practices we bump into really don't have clean records and really clean books. So it's very common for us to talk to someone and say, hey, do you have a profit and loss statement? Like, can we be able to see what you've taken in, what you spent, what you have in net income at the end of the year? So what are you taking home? What your balance sheet looks like, you know, how much in assets and liabilities do you have, from cash in the bank to debts and loans that you have taken out, even tax returns, like making sure that there's your taxes are being done appropriately. And when we talk about cash flow, the main part of it is that your business is probably the highest producing interest asset that you have. So like, let me break that down for a second. When, if you were to look at putting money in the stock market or put money other different places, usually, you know, if you're investing, you can get a certain return. If you put money in the bank, it might be a lot less. Maybe you buy some real estate. If you have a business, I mean, you're typically, that's going to get you the most return over year, because let's say you have $1 million top line practice and you're producing $200,000 of profits. I mean, that's, from a math standpoint, that's 20% that you're making off of $1 million every year. And where we find where the struggle is with cash flow is that a lot of times a practice owner will just keep taking money and funneling back into the business. And they don't really have a plan in place to really be able to lock in their employees, to be able to secure and make sure that they're protecting from the value. They don't have a plan to systematically transfer wealth from the business to be able to start building up their personal assets. Like, they're not taking it. And at one point or another, this business is going to be sold, and then they're going to rely a lot on it to be saying, okay, well, this business is going to not produce me that same amount of money per year. And, you know, not to be a spoiler alert here, but to be one, a lot of people have a kind of like a newsflash to them and saying, well, this is not going to be enough and I have to reduce my lifestyle. So cash flow is something that, you know, making sure you have clean records, have clean books, you're keeping up to your taxes, your profit and loss statements, you know, what's coming in, what's going out, how much you're spending on salaries and marketing, how much you're saving. Like, those are big, big things that people usually just kind of ignore.
Yeah. And you never really want to, as a practice owner or any, as a veterinarian, I would say, don't ever live beyond your means, live within your means too. And, you know, cash flow is the general rule that I always am told from my financial advisors, have enough for 6 months, you know, but you don't have to have, you know, keep it all on a nest. You want to kind of invest it, put it back into the business, put it back into areas where there could be growth and opportunity. So that's great.
The biggest kicker, to just add to that real fast, is that so many practice owners will basically take this money and they will put it in different spots, but they don't have an end goal in mind. So like, if I am putting money back into my business, or if I am putting it somewhere else or doing something with it, how is it helping me get to where I want to be in the future? And yeah. so much we're like, we have like tunnel vision, and that tunnel vision tends to be the part where we tend to not look at a lot of things from a bigger picture. And we're all human. We do it. Like we all do it, yeah, being a veterinarian or not. So like if not taking into the big picture, you know, our rule of thumb too, is from a savings standpoint, people should be putting aside 20% of their income every year. So if you own a business, look at your profits, look at how much you're pulling from the business. You should be saving 20% of that every single year on your personal assets.
And if you want to grow and build your business, likewise, if you want to get, you know, telecytology or artificial intelligence implanted, and like, you should have these goals put in because medicine's constantly evolving and changing. I mean, now so more than ever with, you know, telemedicine that's here, you know, we should be able to budget for those things in the future, right?
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. And then you also talked about exit strategy. So tell me a little bit about that too, because I feel like some practice owners, they think that they have an exit strategy. They don't. What's involved with that?
Well, this is a big subject that we can literally talk for hours on.
You mean the 2-minute version?
Yeah, absolutely. So the biggest thing, you know, like a lot of practice owners, is they don't identify which door they want to go through. And there's three doors from an exit plan. You're either going to sell it to an associate or an employee, you're going to sell it to a consolidator or a third party, or you're going to basically keep the business and then close the door one day. Like it's just going to eventually just either get transferred to your family or you're just going to close on the practice. And when people go to start planning, most of them will start considering that when they're ready to leave their business, because they've gotten to the part where they're just like, I've worked in this for 20, 30 years. I'm exhausted. I want to get out. And what they're doing to themselves, though, is they're potentially shortchanging themselves and limiting their options. So like if they had the desire to sell to an associate and they're not giving enough time to do it, we have this kind of joke we always talk about too. Like if you ever ask a business owner, when do they want to sell? There's usually always this like 5 to 7 year rolling period of I'm going to sell it in 5 to 7 years. And then when you talk to them again, they're like, in a couple of years from now, they're like, yeah, in another 5 to 7 years. And right, it's like, everyone should have an exit plan right when they get into business. Like they should know where they're trying to go, what they want to accomplish. And ultimately, yeah, this business that is producing income for you is going to be sold. And then now you want to have that same lifestyle as you get out of it. So like, how are you aligning what your exit is with that? And some of these things, like if you're trying to schedule, if you want to sell to an employee or you're looking to sell to an associate, 5 to 10 years is like an ideal time frame, what you want to be looking at. If you're trying to sell to a consolidator corporate, at least maybe a year or so, you want to make sure you're prepared and ready for it. If your personal stuff isn't prepared, you might need longer. It just really depends on where things are at.
Right. That's good to know. That's good time frames right there. So excellent. Well, this has been very helpful. This is like a really great Cliff Note version of where we can find out more information. So, you know, this is your moment then. So you got us all hooked. And so where can we find out more information about you and Florida Vet Advisors?
Well, the easiest thing you can do is go to Google. You type in Florida Veterinary Advisors. You'll find us all over there. Or you can go to flvetadvisors.com. And, you know, right on the front page, if you're curious about some things, we have an assessment you can take. We've got some RACE CEs. We have 7 of them that we do very, very often. Other different assessments. If you want to talk to us, you know, go complete our contact form. And at the same time, if you haven't listened to Smarter Vet Podcast, we've actually created episodes less like 20 minutes or less, like TED Talks, to break down financial topics and make them really simple. Be able to translate a lot of information that people are like, how do I implement these things in my finances? So feel free to reach out or take any of our assessments or look at any of our free resources that we have for you.
Excellent. And to our listeners, those of you that are interested, he will also be presenting at the May Virtual Fetch Conference in 2021. I know that may seem a little far off, but it'll be here before you know it. So he'll be part of some of our Fetch faculty members too. So I'm really excited about that. So thank you for that.
Absolutely. Well, this year seems like a time warp almost. So I'm sure May will be here all the time.
You know, I swear, I said, if we look at like go into 2022, we look back, 2020 is going to be one of those things we just like skip and repeat, like don't even talk about it.
Yeah, you're going to look at the calendar and you're going to see 2019 and 2021 and you're going to be like, are we missing a year? Like, where did it go?
Right. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Well, Tom, thank you so much for joining us today.
Of course, this has been great. It's been a pleasure.
My pleasure. And thank you to our listeners. Thank you for tuning in. Please stay safe out there. Thank you for taking care of all those fur babies out there, and continue to stay pawsome. Take care, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay pawsome.